Hello and welcome to I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse, the podcast all about animation not made by the mouse. I'm your host, Octaviano Macias, and today we're talking about Powerpuff Girls, quite possibly the most popular Cartoon Network show ever made. It's not my personal favorite, but I know it's a lot of people's favorites. And look, to be fair, Cartoon Network has produced some really great shows, so even if it's not my favorite, that doesn't really mean much, considering that I still think it's a really good show, and in comparison to some of the other companies' works, like Nickelodeon, Disney TV, and whatnot, it's still top-tier animation. Again, not my personal favorite from Cartoon Network, but that doesn't really mean much. And in this case, I am talking about the movie. So the Powerpuff Girls movie is the theatrical feature of what else? The Powerpuff Girls. It's, as they put it, the first and only theatrical Cartoon Network feature. Because even though there's been other movies based on stuff that was on Cartoon Network to hit theaters, stuff like the Clone Wars movie, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, or Teen Titans Go, they're all different divisions of Cartoon Network, or in the case of Clone Wars, it wasn't even really Cartoon Network, it was just something that was shown on Cartoon Network. So essentially, this is the only one that was pretty much like 100% a Cartoon Network product to get its own theatrical movie, because Cartoon Network has done other movies based on their shows, but they've all been relegated to just being TV movies, with the few exceptions where they might get a very limited theatrical screening. I know Regular Show and Steven Universe had their movies shown on some theaters, but it wasn't anything that you could consider an actual theatrical run. So this was it. I'm assuming this was supposed to be their big attempt at trying to ape off of Nickelodeon, because Nickelodeon definitely had more than a few of their movies go to theaters, and they still kind of do. As of this recording, they've mentioned that there's going to be like another SpongeBob movie hitting theaters, and of course there's an animated Ninja Turtles movie hitting theaters. So it's definitely something that Nickelodeon still regularly does. That being said, before I really get into the Powerpuff Girls movie, I just want to point out that I'm Team Cartoon Network when it comes to the cartoons that I grew up watching, just because, again, like I was saying earlier, a lot of those were great. But even then, if we're just talking about the movies that they made, while Nickelodeon definitely wins in terms of the look of their movies, just because a lot of them did get that theatrical bump, I would say Cartoon Network was still better overall when it came to their TV movies, just because a lot of their TV movies function really well as movies rather than just overly long episodes. Because, and look, I don't want to trash all Nickelodeon movies, because there are good ones like the SpongeBob movies. I've never really been a fan of the Wild Thornberries, but I've heard that's supposed to be a really good one. But I know that when it comes to a lot of their movies, there was like stuff like they had like the first Rugrats movie is actually pretty good. Rugrats in Paris is also another one that's good. I don't love it as much as some people do, but that one was fine. The third one I couldn't care less for. That would be the Rugrats Meet Wild Thornberries movie. The Hey Arnold movie, just did not care for. And, you know, there was a whole period where Nickelodeon, I don't know if they still do, I know they occasionally have their TV movies, but there was a whole period where they would try to crank out as many TV movies as possible, just because it was one of those things where it's like, well, you know, hey, it worked out for like the big screen movies, and, you know, we gotta, you know, hype up like these little events. Like, I know there was multiple like TV Fairly Odd Parents movies. I know some people hold them in high regard. I don't really care for any of the Jimmy Timmy crossover stuff. Like, that stuff was more of a meme to me than an actual good movie in terms of, you know, just the quality of it. I know there was like the Channel Chasers movie for that, where again, I just did not care for it. It's like, there's some cool stuff I think in there, like some cool ideas, and there is a movie plot in it, but for the most part, I'm just like, I don't really see the appeal. But then again, Fairly Odd Parents is one of those shows where I remember really loving as a kid, and then as I grew older, I stopped liking it as much. It just, a lot of the stuff that I saw in it just became grating. There's still some stuff that I still think it's funny, but, you know, for the most part, I don't really care for. But before I go way deep into talking about that stuff, I just want to, you know, actually get back to what this episode's supposed to be about, which is the Powerpuff Girls movie. Yeah, like I said, I generally prefer a lot of the Cartoon Network movies just because a lot of them actually feel more like movies. They're better told stories. For me, I think. And all of them, I'm like, you know, it's kind of sad that they didn't give them the push that they could have had to be theatrical movies, because some of these could have been made for some really great stuff. And as is the case with the Powerpuff Girls movie, it just really, Cartoon Network didn't give enough support to this. Because when it comes to the Powerpuff Girls movie, you know, you could definitely see, like, it's more cinematic than the show. The animation is a step up, even though I would say that some of the coloring is a little flat in it. But for the most part, the animation, the angles that they work with on the movie, you know, it looks much bigger than the show. And there are certainly some shots in this that feel like something that would benefit on a big screen. And just to be upfront, I actually did watch this movie back when it hit theaters. To me, I didn't realize that it was even a flop when it came out. I didn't really go too deep into that kind of stuff as a kid. I just remember watching it with my sisters. I enjoyed it. I thought the short that was in front of it, which was the Dexter's Lab short, was kind of funny with the chicken pox. But for the most part, yeah, that was a cool experience watching it on the big screen, and I would definitely like to see it in the big screen again. But yeah, like, you can see the step up in there, and it's kind of impressive that this is a movie that hit theaters, just because there's really not a celebrity voice in this, which is very common for these types of movies. Like, even like, I know people like to say, like, oh, you know, celebrity voice actors became a thing like in a post Shrek world, or, you know, the farthest back they usually go is like a post Aladdin world. But even the theatrical movies based on shows before that, like the Transformers and whatnot, had celebrity voices. So it wasn't like this unheard of thing. And yeah, it's kind of wild seeing this. And it's like, yeah, it's just the cast of the show for the most part. There are a few new characters in this, but it's mostly just one-off villains created by Mojo and Ed. And for those of you who've never seen this movie but are aware of the show, it's essentially an origin story for the Powerpuff Girls. Stuff that had already been hinted at in the show, like, you know, the whole, you know, them getting created by, you know, an accident with Chemical X, Mojo being somewhat responsible for it. That was the thing that was hinted at in the show. Mojo being Professor Utonium's pet monkey, and then becoming smart because of the Chemical X. That kind of stuff was always, you know, kind of hinted in the show, or just flat out mentioned. This is just the full visual of it. And it's a really fun time. If there's any real problem with the show, I mean, with the movie, is just that for a movie that is essentially, you know, made for theaters, it is very short. Like, it feels like, and again, this kind of goes back to what I'm saying, like, with the Cartoon Network, probably didn't have the full confidence in it. Like, they wanted to just kind of test it out a bit, or maybe it was Warner Bros., I'm not too sure. But you can see that, like, because this movie is very short. It's like 70 minutes, you know, not even counting like the credits, which doesn't even bump it up by much. I think an extra 10 minutes could have helped with the movie, just because, like, while it is very good, there are some things where I feel like they could have explained a little bit better. Like, some of it, I don't want to say that it's made specifically for fans, because again, it's an origin story, so even if you've never seen the show, you could easily follow this movie. But some of it is kind of left to, like, okay, if you're a fan of the show, you kind of get the dynamic enough to follow it along. Like, with Mojo, I feel like they kind of rushed through his origin a bit. Not so much in terms of, you know, how he's created, because you do see, like, in the opening, you know, he's a monkey, and he was, you know, Professor Utonium, you know, pet, essentially. And then after the girls are created, you know, he's completely ignored, so you see him just seeing how he's ignored and then leaving. And then you get little glimpses here and there after that where it's like, okay, so he's become homeless. He's, of course, become evil and whatnot. And, well, I'm not saying that they needed a full-on story explaining how he became evil. I do think that there could have been some scenes kind of filling in just to further explain his view on the world. Like, because a big part of this movie is that towards the end, he tricks the girls to essentially help him create a Planet of the Apes type scenario where he makes a bunch of monkeys from the zoo, which, if funny enough, it's like there wasn't that many monkeys in the zoo, and yet here's a whole bunch of monkeys running around. But whatever, it's cool, it's animation, it doesn't really matter. But he makes them all intelligent, and I don't know, I think you could have had a scene where maybe, like, after he left the professor's place, he could have seen, like, you know, other people mistreating monkeys, and that maybe leads him to, you know, concoct this plan to make monkeys get their revenge on humans, because it just feels like a step in there is missing. And yeah, if you're a fan of the show, you kind of already figure, like, well, you know, he's always coming up with these crazy plans and whatnot, so of course he would do that. But, you know, with this being an origin story, I just feel like you could have had that, and it would have filled out the story a lot better, along with making non-fans, you know, see his point of view a lot more clear, without having to just resort to, like, okay, well, if you've seen the show, you know his whole deal. Because, again, this is an origin story, so it should be better explained here. Stuff like that, it makes me wonder, you know, like, just how much they were pushing for this. Because, I mean, granted, I saw the commercials all the time, but then again, I watch Cartoon Network all the time. From what I've heard, a lot of the marketing campaign for this was just Cartoon Network and maybe some other kids' channels, but nothing where they were trying to focus outside of that, which is kind of understandable because it is an animated feature aimed at kids. But, like, you know, at least from what I've read, there's reports about how Cartoon Network was also intending for this to be, like, a hit with some older viewers, just because it was the whole thing where, and this is the thing that exists even now, but, like, you know, going back to, like, 2003, 20th anniversary for this, there was a sense of, like, okay, this is a show for kids, but there are some adults who are kind of into this, so we should try to appeal to that audience as well. So you'd think that they would have tried to have pushed it, like, maybe let's put more marketing material in certain adult channels, specifically the ones that have animation, stuff like Fox with The Simpsons and whatnot, because there was, you know, of course, places like that, like MTV and whatnot, but apparently, they just weren't pushing for it, at least from what I've read on this, which I can kind of believe, because realistically, a lot of shows that get their theatrical movies never become the biggest of hits, whether it's timing, a lack of support, which this seems to have had, or just because, you know, as that famous The Simpsons movie actually joked about, you know, why watch something that you could watch for free? Now you're paying for it. And it's just a matter of, like, okay, you kind of overestimate how much of a fandom a certain show might have just because of the ratings, because sometimes people just put stuff on just because, like, it's just background noise or whatever. So, I don't know. It definitely was something where I think they definitely could have used better, you know, more support on how they were going about it on the marketing department. Beyond that, I'd still say it's a wonderful time. The animation is really neat. Like, even if at times it's a little cheap, for the most part, when it pops, it really does go out there. I do like how a lot of the story being an origin for the characters makes it easier for newcomers. And even if you're not a newcomer, like with me, when I saw it, I was already a fan of the show. It was still cool just seeing essentially the origin of these characters being fully displayed in this way. The action is very neat. Like, there's pretty much, I would say, two major action beats to watch this for. One is early on in the movie where pretty much where Townsville realizes that these girls have all these powers. There's a big sequence with them playing tag, and it's like the most intense game of tag ever made, because the girls, of course, don't understand their limits. They essentially start from the kindergarten all the way into the town, and it's just all this destruction. And there's a lot of little things that are being followed around, like from a big ball to a little red ball. There's a bunch of stuff, and it's just always fun. And it's somewhat dark, because, you know, they imply that certain, some of these characters that get damaged might have been even killed. Like, because there's, like, at one point, there's a gag where a guy is trying to flirt with a woman, talking about his car, and you see a car just fly straight into the building, and I don't think you ever see that character again. So it's like that the girls just killed the guy. So you get stuff like that. And then the other major action beat in the movie is, of course, with the monkeys. This is after Mojo reveals that he betrayed the girls and is kind of pinning the blame on them. So, because Townsville at this point doesn't like them, and of course they're definitely not going to like them if they believe that they're the ones that are responsible for the monkeys, which they kind of are, but they didn't know. They first started rescuing some people, and it's a cool scene of them trying to fly around and stop stuff. And then eventually they realize, like, okay, the only way we're actually going to stop this is by actually fighting back against these monkeys. One of my favorite beats of this movie, even though it is something that feels like it's a little bit of them just padding it out, I disagree on that. But I could definitely see where some people might think that this is just them padding it out, where the monkeys essentially all decide to go off on their own tangents. Like, Mojo essentially creates this monkey army to lead, but then each one is, you know, of course, because of how smart they've gotten, are like, no, I don't want you to lead me. I want to be the one who leads. So they're each coming up with their own plans. Like, one monkey has a giant mech. Another group of monkeys are just doing, like, the whole barrel of monkeys thing, where they're just forming a whole chain around the town. There's a monkey who creates, like, a tornado out of tomato sauce. Just a bunch of ridiculous stuff. It's really funny and creative, and I just love seeing all these different characters clash. So the girls start fighting them, they go off, and it, of course, eventually leads to them fighting Mojo, who becomes kaiju size, essentially, through this. All really great stuff. I don't know. It is definitely a fun action sequence. I don't know. I just really love a lot of the animation in this, like, whether it's the lighting, the action, it's all just fun. But of course, what makes it all work is that it is still telling a fairly good story. It's not the greatest, but it is something where I just felt like, yeah, that is a good origin story. Like, just seeing the girls go from hated to beloved. And I do like, you know, when the movie has these quieter moments where you kind of get the idea of, like, yeah, if these girls were around doing this stuff, they'd be causing a lot of destruction. I mean, they kind of acknowledge it more than the show does, even though the show did have a few episodes where they kind of joked about it. There was one episode that they go into a town where they fully acknowledge, like, yeah, this would be a nightmare to live with if you had these girls running around doing all this stuff. But yeah, the movie delves into that. They kind of forget about it because they stop the evil creatures, but whatever. But then you get moments where it's like, okay, here's them interacting with the professor. And again, this is where I would feel like, yeah, they could have used some extra moments. And not that they don't have enough of it, but it still would have been nice to see more where they just interact with the professor as kids. And it's cute. It works. It's it helps kick in the emotion when it needs to, especially towards the middle of the movie where you see that the professor has been arrested. The girls think that he abandoned them, and they're walking around town seeing their own destruction and seeing all the different people insult them. As far as it being an origin story, one of the things I really do gotta give it praise for is that it's one of the very rare origin prequel, you know, type stories where they don't hammer in the stuff that you eventually know about these characters. Because while it does have a sense of, like, okay, some of this is built for longtime fans in terms of just fill in the gaps for how Mojo is evil and whatnot, just because you know that's his deal in the show. At the very least, it never resorts to just doing, and I hate this in a lot of origin and prequel stories where they do jokes built around characters, like hinting, teasing, or acknowledging stuff from the future as a sort of wink to the audience. Like, for example, like with the 2003 Teen Titans show, there was an episode late into the show where they decided to actually do the origin story of how the Titans came together, which is a fun episode. But my problem is that there's a lot of jokes in there where it's like, okay, I get it. I know I've seen the show, so I know what this is referring to, but this just interrupts the flow of the story and it just ruins it. Like, Cyborg at some point says, like, oh, I'm only going to say this one time, booyah. And it's like, haha, get it, because he says booyah all the time. Or, you know, here's Raven, you know, saying that Beast Boy's kind of funny. That one's not as bad, but it's still, like, from what I remember on how they did it, was still kind of like, hey, get it, you know, she finds him annoying in the show. Just stuff like that. I know another example would be, like, Monsters University, which mostly avoids doing it, but towards the end, there's a bit where, I'm forgetting her name, but the lady who works at the company in that, who always gives Mike a hard time, like, she appears in her, what was it, CDA or whatever, but, like, in pretty much, like, the detective agency that she worked for. She appears in her outfit, so, of course, the characters don't see her because they don't meet her until later on, but we gotta have that little interaction where she pops in and says, I have my eyes on you, or something like that. You know, the thing she says to Mike, and, you know, like, where she's, like, always watching or whatever, and it's just like, yeah, I get it, because she says that to Mike later on. Stuff like that just always ruins it for me. I just hate it. I'm glad this movie doesn't do that. Like, it feels very natural for the characters. Like, you know, you get characters like the Gangrene Gang or Fuzzy Lumpkins who also pop up in this, but they don't try doing, like, jokes about, like, oh, this is where the character eventually goes. Or Mojo doesn't do any kind of references like, oh, I hope one day I don't, I hope one day I don't babysit these girls, because there's an episode where he babysits them. I don't know. Like, it doesn't do any of that kind of humor, and I'm more than thankful for that. It's the kind of stuff where I'm like, we don't need it. I dislike it when shows do that. I dislike it when movies do that. I just don't like it. That Han Solo prequel movie is also another prime example where stuff just happens because, get it, that's a thing from the other movies. I don't know. I'm glad it doesn't do that. But yeah, at the end of the day, the thing that I will say for this movie is that I do really wish it was a little bit longer and it got more support, just because it would have been nice for future Cartoon Network movies. But for the most part, Cartoon Network still makes good movies. This movie did not do so well, so they decided not to do more theatrical movies. Sucks. But for what it's worth, it's still fun, and it's sad that this movie has almost become lost. Like, you can still easily find it online. It's not that hard to find, you know, like, pirated copies and whatnot, which, you know, I know, yeah, I shouldn't really recommend that, but they've not re-released this movie in about 20 years. Like, pretty much the DVD release is the only official release, as far as I know, for this movie. I don't know if it's on any streaming sites. As far as I know, it wasn't, because I didn't see it that way. And you can't even purchase it digitally, so I don't know what they expect to do. Like, you know, this is pretty much the most popular franchise for Cartoon Network. They've rebooted it. They've done a Japanese version of it. They've done so much with it. They wanted to do a live action version of it. You'd assume that they'd at least throw this movie a bone and give it, even if just cheap, a Blu-ray release. But they haven't done that. They haven't restored it, which sucks, because it, like, look, it does look good as is, but I could just imagine with proper restoration how much better it could look. Instead, it's been nothing but a disappointment, and it sucks, because it is a really nice, fun time to watch. I definitely recommend it if you're a fan of the show. If you're not a fan of the show, but you like superhero stuff, you'll enjoy it. If you're not a fan of superhero stuff, you might still enjoy it, just because the animation is cute and the characters are likable. The only thing is that I will say maybe watch an episode or two to get a feel for the show. You don't necessarily need to because you can easily follow along. But like I said, since it is such a short movie, it does kind of feel like, especially on the villain side, because that's where I notice it suffering most. Some of his motivation could have been fleshed out a little bit more instead of just based on assumptions because, you know, hey, fans already know that this guy's a bad guy. I don't know. That's just my take on that. Like I said, it's a fun time regardless. Animation's neat. The voice acting is great. And it's just wonderful to see something where it didn't rely on celebrity voices, even though I have no problem with celebrity voices. So kudos whenever you can get something like this. Yeah, just a wonderful time. And as an origin story, it's great. I love the fact that it doesn't rely on just doing nostalgia, fan service, humor. Give it a watch. Powerpuff Girls movie. Great time. That's all I can really say. It's a great time. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you again next time.
Uh-oh. You can sniff my babble butt bombs!
Oh, that's classy.
Thank you for coming on today. If you enjoyed this, please consider subscribing to my YouTube channel where you'll see video versions of these podcasts. And if you just want to listen to them, there's always the option of just following the podcasts on their various sites, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. Whatever you choose, I hope you continue enjoying these. And if you want to support me even further than that, there's always the option of Patreon. With Patreon, even just a dollar will get your name on the video versions of this and on other videos that I may do outside of these podcasts. A few dollars more gets you some behind the scenes info, and as this continues to grow, you'll find that there's more perks to it. So I hope you consider supporting me through Patreon as well. And in any case, again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.